Okay, Shabbat Shalom. Sorry we're getting started a little late. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom, folks watching on live stream. This is Rabbi Joe and Rebbetzin Don here. And we got Wendell in the corner and Anthony, Mr. Anthony Cody, right here in the center. And this is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation, our Yehuda. In Hebrew, and we're glad you're with us today. If you don't have a Messianic home, a Messianic congregation, but you're interested in Messianic Judaism, we invite you to join us. We're here every week, every Shabbat at 10:45 in the morning, and I usually preach around 12:15 or 12:30. Please join us. Tell your friends. We invite you. We love the Lord, we're spirit-filled, and God moves here at Lion of Judah. So God bless you as you worship. And also, we have communion, so if you'd like to take communion with us, you might want to prepare that at home, and prepare that at home and get ready as we will take communion, come to the Lord's table later on, okay? God bless you.
Yes.
about the Messiah. Amen. And his name is
Yeshua.
And so we're going to bless him this morning. And we're going to spend some time with him. And we're going to let him into our heart today. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to change us. And we're going to have a great time. Hallelujah. So let's bless him with this blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Where you dwell and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Hallelujah. Veshamru. Veshamru
Bnei Yisrael Et HaShabbat Lasot Et HaShabbat Ledotam Berit Olam Veshamru Bnei Yisrael Et HaShabbat Lasot Et HaShabbat Ledotam Berit Olam Bnei, O Bnei, Bnei Israel, Bnei Israel, Leoi Leolam, Beshamru, Bnei Israel, Et HaShabbat, Lasot Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Barit Olam. Hishesh Et Yamin, Asa Adonai, Is my merits Veshamru Bnei Israel Et HaShabbat Lasot Et HaShabbat Ledorotam Barit Olam Yom HaShani Shabbat V'Nafash Shabbat V'Nafash Shabbat V'Nafash Veshamru Bnei Israel Et HaShabbat Lasot Et HaShabbat Ledorotam Barit Olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
This morning, Lord, and we just ask, God, that you would bring peace to Jerusalem, God. Lord, that you, God, would put that hedge of protection around Jerusalem, Lord. Lord, that is your holy city, God. That is your place, God, that you built, Lord, that you, God, created, Lord. And we just ask that a hedge of protection would surround it, Lord, all of Israel, Lord. God, that you, Lord, would watch over them and protect them, Lord. And we pray, God, for Benjamin Netanyahu, God, that you would give him wisdom, Lord, as he already has. But, God, enhance it, God, and protect this man, God, that he's working for you, Lord. Protect him, watch over him, Lord. We pray for all the army, Lord, the soldiers, Lord, that has to go out, God, and face the enemy, God. God, we just ask you to give them courage and supernatural strength, God. God, and we thank you for that, Father. And we just ask, God, that Jerusalem will see peace in Yeshua's name. Amen. Thank
you. And I want to pray for the leaders, the Messianic community in America. Father, I want to lift up the rabbis today as they lead their services. I want to pray for them and for their strength, for their your anointing upon them, Lord. Pray, Lord, for the word of God, that you fill their mouths with your word to feed their people. I pray, Lord, for the sick ones, that you heal them. I pray, Lord, for those who have need, that you meet their lack. And Lord, I just pray that you encourage their hearts, all the rabbis who are working and serving today, Lord, that you care for them and encourage their hearts and take care of their families and their needs. And that I pray for our leaders in the Messianic world, Lord, that you would raise them up, that give them righteous vision, truth, revelation from your word, Lord, that you would lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that they would be fathers to the younger rabbis, Lord, and that they would minister and not be jealous and not step on and use the little guys as stepping stones, Lord, but that people would care for one another and love one another. And I just pray, Lord, that you remove the blinders from Israel, Lord, that you remove the scales from your people, Israel's eyes, Lord. And I pray especially for my mother at this time, Lord. She needs you more than she knows, Lord, that you remove the scales from her eyes and that she would see her Messiah. In Yeshua's name, come to her, to Harriet. Come quickly, Lord, and save your people, Israel, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Okay, it's 39 today. Today's number 39 in the County of the Omer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitzivanu v'mitzvotav v'tzivani, asiferot hayomer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us his commandments and commanded us concerning counting of the Omer. And today is the 39th day. Hayom tisha yushalom yom shaim hashama yushavuot v'yarba'a yamin la Omer. Today is 39 days, which is 5 weeks and 4 days in the counting of the Omer.
Amen.
Amen.
And we are counting down. We are within the days between Passover and Shavuot, which was originally the beginning of the feast, was when on Mount Sinai Moses went up and received the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses and the Torah and the instruction for life, and was given to us how to live before him, how to worship before him. All the children of Israel were in the desert in a very private time with him, and there was thunder and lightning, and the shofar sounded, and his word was given. And then some 1,500 years later, on the very same day, we also had a miracle happen. The people were gathered in the upper room. The disciples, Yeshua said, go and wait for me. Amen. And on that very same day, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and in order to empower us to share his life with everyone. So we thank the Lord for this time as we're counting. He commands us to count, to be expectant of him, and to look to him for great and powerful things to come. Amen. Hallelujah.
Does anybody remember the count on Sesame Street?
Oh, yeah. Count Dracula?
The count, it wasn't Dracula. It was like Dracula. It was the count.
But the Count Dracula used to do it.
Josh, do you remember the count? Where's Josh? Where's he lying down? Huh? In the bathroom? I always get them when they're in the bathroom. Well, praise the Lord. Josh is in the bathroom, everybody, all across the country. In case you were wondering, does anybody remember the count from Sesame Street?
Ooh,
Brenda
yeah.
does. Nick does. Brenda still watches the count.
So we could do the count.
Wouldn't it be great to have the count the Omer? I think so. That would be pretty cool.
So here we go. Why don't you do it?
Maybe I'm a little weird. But I haven't seen them. I'm not ready to do the count right now.
Well, we're going to do it downstairs.
If you want to bring the count up on like YouTube or something.
So 39 is the day. So you got kids, we're going to count it downstairs, all right? Can you count to 39? Who can count to 39? All right. Well, so think about that. We're going to count downstairs. All right. Lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and happiness, who brings salvation and says, your God reigns.
Me up.
בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך והיו הדברים האלה אשר אנוכי מצווך היום על לבבך ושינתם לבניך ודיברת בם בשבתך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשכבך ובקומך וכשרתם להיות על ידיך והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, and let them be a frontlet between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, upon your gates.
How about why don't we have Nick? Would you like to carry the Torah today? Okay. And how about Wendell? You want to carry it, Mr. Wendell? מלכותך מלכות כל עולמים וממשלתך בכל דור ודור. אדוני מלך, אדוני מלך, אדוני ימלוך לעולם ועד. אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
In name of Your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavorah,
Baruch Adonai Hamruch Yolam Vahed,
Baruch Adonai Hamruch Yolam Vahed,
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lanu et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Notein ma'Torah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Bless is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. And before Anthony begins, I just want to say our Torah is when you saw us carrying around the Torah scroll, that is what the Bible looked like in the time of Yeshua, in the time of that's the Hebrew name for Jesus, and that the Torah scroll was the Bible in his day. All of the scrolls of the Bible, the only ones that existed then were the five books of Moses, the writings, which the Ketuvim, which were called the writings, the book of Esther, Ruth, Joshua, Judges, Chronicles, Kings, and so forth, Samuel. And then they had the prophets, and there was the book of Esther that had its own scroll, and every different set of the Bible, part of the Bible had its own scroll, and so this is the scroll of the books of Moses, and ours is about 175 years old. It came out of Budapest, Hungary, out of a synagogue, and it survived the Holocaust. Unfortunately, it's getting very tattered, it's very fragile, and we really can't, we really reached a point where we can't use it, we can't open it. It's in danger of falling apart. So we need a new one, and it's going to cost us about $12,000 to $15,000 to get a good used one that we can actually use. So if God puts it on anybody's heart out there who's watching today, to contribute to our congregation getting a new Torah scroll that we'd be able to read from, may God bless you if he does that, and if he does move somebody in the house here today. But we really can't, that the Torah we have is an antique. Why do we carry it around? Because we don't worship the word of God, we worship the God of the word. Amen. We don't worship the word of the God, of God. We worship the God of the word. And but we do revere, we honor his word. We love his word. Amen. We're thankful for his word. So without his word, we have no way to understand. It's very hard to understand what God is trying to communicate to us if we can't read his word, right? Amen. It's hard to understand what right and wrong is if we don't read his word. It's hard to understand life's lessons, from the Bible, the difference between what the world teaches, and what God teaches if we don't have his word. I mean, if we followed what the politicians teach us versus what the Bible teaches us, it's very different than two very different things than what you hear out of the government. The governments of the world and the United Nations, and then what you hear out of the Bible, are two very different things. And Psalm 2 says about the governments of the world, the Lord laughs. If you're worried about the governments of the world, just read Psalm 2. It says the Lord laughs. He sits enthroned above the heavens, and he laughs at the kings of the earth. He's having a good laugh at them, and they're going to have their day. For their silliness, their foolishness, and their behavior, they're going to have to answer. So now I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Anthony Cody.
Thank you. It's almost a Torah portion. Good job. Okay, today we're concluding Vayikra, which is Leviticus, the center of the Torah. It's the book that Yeshua spoke mostly from. Because I guess he was pretty close to it, because it was really him that he was speaking about. So today we have Behar and Bukatotai, I believe is what it is, on the mount, and by my regulations. And so it's the end. You know, when we started the book of Leviticus, God speaks to Moses in a very soft, quiet voice, you could say. And then we end today with a God is roaring, or he's telling us, or he's giving us a warning. So if you read this today, you'll know it's talking about a lot about the number 7, which ties to the counting of the Omer, and it's about specifically about the two types of, it's about the Shemitah and the Yovel, which the Yovel is 7 years times 7 cycles in 1 year, and it's like the Omer, 7 weeks in 1 day. But the Yovel completes the 7-year cycles. It was the year of release. But God, once again, is telling Moses to speak to the sons of Israel that when they come into the land, God has been guiding them. He's been teaching them. And, when you look at the whole Torah, it's about holiness is what it's really about. And when you look at the land of Israel, you'll see that today it's the most contested piece of property in the whole world. And there's a lot of discussion about moving the United States, moving the embassy. Well, that's going to happen or not. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But the land of Israel is the holiest place in all of the world. It's more holy than the Vatican. It's more holy than any place, any church, any synagogue in the United States. It's more holy there. And I was researching the name Israel, because I had a friend, he's been shooting me a lot of questions lately, so I was doing a little bit of study to help him out, and I found out Israel means God will fight. That's why the the Ark of the Covenant was carried into battle because they was carrying God led the battle. And when God leads the battle, you're not going to lose. So Israel means God's going to fight for you. You know, and the Shabbat is based on 7 6 days. And on the seventh day, God says it is a day of rest. The Shabbat is a holy day. It's the holiest day of the week. It's the day that there's not to be any rest. So God is teaching Israel about his ordinances, about the mitzvahs that he wants them to follow when they get into the land. That's what he says. When you come into the land which I give you, the land would be a Shabbat. And that means for 6 years you will sow your fields, you will prune your vineyards, and you will gather your fruit and the produce off of the land. And on the seventh year, it will be a Shabbat of the land, meaning that it was a year of rest. Now, I can remember when I was a little boy, my parents had a farm, and they used to raise a garden, and every once in a while, they would not plant. So I don't know if they were following the Shemitah or not, but every so often, I can't remember the counts of the years, but they would not plant. They would leave it. As my dad would say, it needs to rest this year, and then I need to rest this year. So we are to rest from the labor in that seventh year. But if you're in Israel at this time, you're depending on what you're cultivating off the land to survive. So what does God do? When God gives you a commandment and you follow it, he's going to bless you. So God said in the sixth year, I'll give you a triple increase upon your land. So it was like gathering the manna out in the wilderness. On Friday, they collected a double portion, and it was okay for the Shabbat. If they collected a double portion on Tuesday, it would rot. Only on Friday could they collect an extra day's worth of manna, and it would still be fresh the next day. That's the way God operates. So they didn't. On the seventh year of the Shabbat, which would be the Shabbat year of the land, you would neither plant your field, you would not prune your vineyards, you would not harvest anything that had grown. And if you know anything about gardening, a lot of times when you don't plant, stuff will still grow that may be deteriorated in the prior years. But it was that whatever grew was open for anyone who came by to eat from it, but it wasn't to be harvested. So the seventh year was the Shemitah, and the Shemitah means to withdraw. It means to not plant. And so nothing was cultivated. And then on the Jubilee, that was the second observance that we see, is the seven-year cycle of 7 years, and in the 50th year would be called a Yovel or Jubilee. And you see, if you travel around, you see a lot of churches have a Jubilee time. And I think that's connected to the 50 years. But on Jubilee or Yovel, it began on that 50th year with the blast of the shofar, just like on Yom Kippur. And, you know, if you're familiar with the book of Joshua, you'll know that in Joshua chapter 6, when they went into the land, God told him on the seventh day to take 7 priests with 7 shofars and encompass the city 7 times. And on the 7th time, they would blow the shofar and the walls fell down. Now, they found that ancient city, and they found where the walls, they've been able to, you know, find where the walls were at, where something happened, and they found where just the wall was laying down over the years. And so it's amazing God is giving little historical insights to his land. It's like the pomegranate they found in the city of David. And they x-rayed it. They did an MRI on it. And they found that inside that little pomegranate that was worn on the priest's garment has a little pendulum-like thing in it. It's amazing how something that small at that period of history, they could have created something like that. It has a little pendulum that makes the sound, that makes the bell sound. It's amazing. And they were excited that they only found the one, but they're thinking, wow, how did it get from there to here? But I guess God knows, but they're thinking maybe the temple's over there. So we'll see as time goes along. But it is 50 years. Yovel means the ram's horn. It's like the counting of the Omer. You know, what's interesting about the counting of the Shavuot, Not only did God give his people the Torah and the scriptures, but he also, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, gave us the Holy Spirit fell on Shavuot. But Shavuot, if you look, it's the only moed that God didn't give a specific month and day. And I think that's because the giving of the Word of God is for every day, and so is the Holy Spirit. It's a daily walk that we have. So we're walking really in Shavuot every day because we have God's Word and we have God the Spirit. The Ruach HaKodesh is with us on a day-to-day basis. So it's counting, it's learning to get closer to God, getting into that deeper meaning and relationship with God. That's why I think God didn't say Nisan, for the 14th of Nisan, that we would observe Passover. With Shavuot, there's not a specific month given. It just says count. The commandment is seven weeks and then one day. So it's interesting. The Yovel was the release. In that year, release of the captives, bondage was set free. People were set free. Land was returned to the families that were had ancestral rights to the land. God says on that 50th year, you will give back everybody's land back to them. And then when you accept the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, and that means taking upon understanding God's requirements for our life, God will bless you once again as he did in biblical times. God's blessings are still here today. They didn't stop when Yeshua gave his life. His blessings are still every day. They're fresh and new every day. You've got a new day of blessings coming to you. And just to close the Torah this morning, in Jeremiah 2:1, it says, Israel's holy unto God, and all who devour it and come against Israel will be guilty, and evil will come upon them, says the God of Israel. Shabbat shalom.
Torah Asher Samoshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael Al-Pi Adonai B'Yamoshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
It's Chaim
is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Thank you, Lord.
You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. Shabbat shalom. And welcome again to our Yehuda Messianic Congregation here in Bristol, Virginia. Tennessee is just 5 minutes from here. So if you're in Bristol, Virginia, we are close by each other. And so we welcome everyone to come visit and take part in the Messianic Congregation that God sent to this region, this area, the Tri-Cities and the Mountain Empire, with the only Messianic congregation between Knoxville and Roanoke, so, and even further up into, I don't know, there's another one up until you get into Charlottesville area. So come and visit and support Israel through our ministry. We are your connection to Israel. And if you have a call to serve Israel in any way, then you should be coming and supporting the local Messianic congregation first. And then maybe God will use you in some other way, but this is where the heart of supporting and the connection to Israel, the spiritual connection to Israel, is through the Messianic movement and through the prophetic revival of the people of Israel. Amen? So when the Jewish people get saved, the Bible says that there's going to be more blessings come to us than even before. So we have a mandate to bring the word of God to the Jewish people and to walk, for the Jewish people to walk in their calling as Jews, not to become like everybody else, but to walk in their calling as a priest nation, as Jesus, as God established it in the desert, as we're talking about in Shavuot. He said, my people are a priestly nation, a nation of priests, and that's forever. Hallelujah. And I do want to welcome, we have mostly family here, but young lady, and excuse me, remind me of your name one more time, because you were here last week, so I want to thank you for coming again. So, Danita, praise the Lord. So everybody welcome Danita with us again. Danita, do you live here in Bristol or Meadow View, Virginia? So it's just down the road. Praise the Lord. We just welcome you and enjoy having you with us and worshiping. Praise the Lord. And so everybody else, you know, bring your friends and those of you who have people who are interested. We also, in our bulletin, please do not forget about our upcoming events, especially Friday, June 2nd at 7 o'clock, right here in this room. The great Marty Goetz will be with us. He's going to set up his grand piano. It'll be an electric piano, I'm sure. His grand electric piano. It might even be mine, I don't know. And he is going to minister to us in song, and you do not want to miss Marty Goetz. He is so awesome. He has beautiful music, but he also is just a beautiful person, and he just is his time with in person is just amazing. So please come enjoy Marty Goetz in concert Friday, June 2nd, and that's the weekend of Shavuot. So the next day, we will be celebrating Shavuot and possibly even Sunday. So come for a weekend starting with Marty Goetz to celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit and the giving of the Word of God. Amen? And we want to mark that day as very important. Also, a couple of other things coming up. On Saturday, May 27th, during our Shabbat service, our normal service, we're going to be having a special time to welcome our new members, the Matthews and Robert and Madonna. And I believe that we're also going to include Margaret and Abby. They're not here today. So please come and stand with them and celebrate with them. We'll have a special oneg afterwards. But please come that weekend and let's bring them into the family. All right? We also, to those families, and the Matthews, and I want to talk to you afterwards about Shabbat dinner. We're going to have a special Shabbat dinner. So during the oneg, we will arrange for that. Okay? So talk to me afterwards. Don't forget about MJA conference coming up in July, and there are brochures back there to information about all the things going on at the Messiah conference, including Rabbi Joe Bell, who will be speaking Monday after Monday morning, I guess it is. 10 a.m. Monday morning in the Hostetter Chapel. It's a large room, and so I'll be speaking. If you can come, at least for Monday, to see Rabbi, or come several days, enjoy the evening programs. Marty Goetz is there usually, and Paul Wilbur, Ted Pierce, Jonathan Kahn usually speaks Friday night or Saturday.
Jonathan Kahn usually speaks Saturday, but Paul Wilbur will probably minister Monday night or something.
So any night that you come is going to be just power-packed. And so don't miss it if you can come for a few days or the whole week. All right? Seems like there's something else. Oh, the baby Solomon. We're going to have a shower, baby shower, for baby Solomon coming. And that we have scheduled June 10th following Oneg. So that's like the weekend after Marty Goetz. Okay, so I want you guys to start thinking about blessing the Matthews family. They don't have anything, and so we'll probably put together a group thing for them, but they don't have baby bed, they don't have stroller, they don't have any of that, those supplies that they had for the other kids. They gave it away, not thinking, moving, and a lot of things just falling by the wayside. So we want to bless them and get them ready for baby Solomon. Okay, so us ladies, we will have that shower, and on the same day, the men have decided they're going to have a men's day out. So we're all going to get together, and the men are going to take the kids, and they're going to have a men's kids day out. Amen? So that'll be a fun day. Put it on your calendar. And I believe that Wendell is organizing that. So see Wendell for details.
We're going to pour a foundation. With Wendell, we're going to pour a concrete foundation. And we'll get to walk in at knee high.
All right. Last but not least, we had a meeting with the media team last week, and that was very productive. Please pray for the media, the video and the sound and everything. We're really working on that and trying to get things organized there. Next, I do want to have a meeting with the children's ministry workers. And I was planning to do it today, but Madonna's not here. So please talk to me, those of you who are in the children's ministry at Oneg, and we will come up with another day for our children's ministry meeting. And those of you who are not in the children's ministry, please pray. We need more teachers, and we need just prayer for that ministry to keep going. We've got wonderful kids, and so we need teachers to teach them. Amen?
Can I say something?
Yes. And that's all. I'll turn it over to Rabbi.
All right. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank people for rising to the call. We've had prayer. We've had men coming to prayer, and we've had ladies coming. And we've actually been able had enough to split into two groups, to have a men's group and a women's group. We've prayed together, and then we've been able to split into two different groups. So I'm grateful to those of you who answered the call to come to prayer. I still want to encourage more of you to come. I really believe prayer is the key to changing your life, and group prayer is the most powerful form of prayer that I know of. You can pray by yourself, you can pray with your wife, but when you come in a group and you have people surround you and lay hands on you, and it's not even just a group, it's your congregation. they're laying hands, they love you, and they're supporting you, and they're, you know, it's another thing to go in a group where you don't know people, and you know, you got the boogeyman putting his hand on you. You know, you don't want that. But when you're in your home congregation and you have people surrounding you and loving you, God's going to move. You know, you're going to see change in your life. And if you're not seeing change in your life, a good possibility is it's because you're not coming to prayer. Now, we do pray for everybody, but we don't know everybody's needs, and people don't tell us their needs, and so we often just pray general prayers because we don't know, you know, what to pray for certain people, you know. We lift people's names up, but, you know, come Wednesday night. Come for prayer. It's summertime. The light's out. We start at 7 o'clock. We're getting out, you know, getting out about 9. We've been starting right on time lately. We just have a good time. There's a lot to pray about. I want to congratulate the kids who've graduated and who've, my son Isaac graduated from 8th grade. He's going to high school. We had graduation this week. Stand up there, Isaac. All right, praise the Lord. He's entering the 9th grade. Do we have any other Chandler Anna, where are you, did you finish the 8th grade, Chandler?
There we go. 8th grade, Chandler Anna. She's going into 9th.
All right. Going to Virginia High School, huh? Congratulations. And I have this, any others? Anybody else? Other graduees? What? Okay. I got this from Anthony. Our own Dante Van Wy, who is not here today, but he does our camera. He's been doing our camera almost every week, you know, when alternating with Isaac. Dante, how many of you know Dante? Amen. I want to tell you this. He got the prestigious accomplishment for Virginia High School student. Dante Van Wy, Virginia High School senior, was awarded the William Andrew Mullins Courageous Achievement Award, which includes a $1,500 scholarship at the Virginia High School League Luncheon Awards Ceremony in Charlottesville, Virginia, on Monday, May 15th, 2017. He is the sole recipient of this prestigious sports and academic award. He is the second person from...
Wow.
He is the second person from Virginia High School to be recognized in the Virginia High School, the VHSL, since its inception, and it's for this particular event. Dante is an autistic student who has persevered and achieved a 3.0 grade point average in all general education classes. 3.0. And that's like a B+, A- average. And he's autistic. He is an outstanding young man who has participated in track, cross country, and swimming. He's been in state championships in swimming and state championships in running. Is that correct, Diane?
Yeah, that's where he was today.
That's where he is today. In swimming today?
Just track.
Track.
Yeah.
So he's at a track meet, state track meet final today, and he's been in year after year. He heads to state events. I don't think he's won a championship.
He's not at a meet today. He was practicing.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. But he hasn't won a championship, or
I'm not sure.
But he's participated.
Yes.
Yeah. He's participated at the state level and. Teams qualifying for state meet participation. Dante will be attending Wilson Workforce and Rehabilitation Center in Fisherville, Virginia this fall with a planned course of study in construction and carpentry. Dante also received an engraved silver bowl, and Virginia High School was given a smaller silver bowl in his honor for the trophy case. I think this is a state award that was given to him locally, and he's the only recipient, I believe, probably in the state, in the whole state, to get this award. We have a very gifted young man in Dante Van Wy, who is part of our congregation. He's the sweetest boy. He hugs me, and he just loves on me, and, you know, he's just always smiling at me, "Rabbi, can I help you? You know, can I do anything for you?" And we need to do something special for Dante. We should get him a gift. And I just want to encourage you, children, Dante's autistic, and if he can pull a 3-0 and get one of the highest awards in the state, that they're going to have a silver bowl in a display case at the high school for him, there's nothing that you can't do.
That's right. Amen.
There's nothing that you can't do, that you
Amen.
Can't accomplish if you put your mind, if you put your heart and soul, like he's put his heart and soul into his academics and his athletics. If you put your heart and soul into it, there's nothing that you can't accomplish. And the world is yours. All it takes is hard work and don't quit and just purpose to do well. You know, I used to be a D student in seventh grade. I was terrible in Spanish. And then in ninth grade, I went to a private school, and I had a really good Spanish teacher. And I got like D's and C's in Spanish in seventh and eighth grade. Ninth grade, I got a really charismatic, wonderful Spanish teacher, and I started getting A's. And in sophomore year, I started getting A's. And junior year, I got A's. And I said, I went to college, and they said, "What do you want to major in?" I said, "I want to major in Spanish." And my teacher was such a wonderful teacher, they went on two trips to Spain in high school, and went to two trips to Spain. And I loved it. I loved going to Spain. I loved the trips to Spain my sophomore and my senior year. And I graduated high school with honors. Went from being a bad student in seventh grade and eighth grade to being in the top of my class, graduating with distinction and honors and in my high school. Then I went to college. I majored in Spanish, had an A average, 3.6 average. Graduated in the top 1,000 out of 10,000 students at the University of Vermont in Spanish, the subject that I used to get D's in when I was in seventh grade. And I stuck with it. People say, "Well, why did you major in Spanish?" Because I knew there was no fence. I knew that there was going to be business opportunities with all these people crossing the border. No, just kidding. Seriously, I majored in Spanish because I was good at it. I majored in Spanish because I was good at it. Stick with what you're good at. Do what you know what you're good at. Don't take, astrophysics if you're not an astrophysicist. Don't take logic. I got out of logic real fast in college because I wasn't, I realized I wasn't very logical. So I got out of there real quick. I got out of speech, believe this one or not. But I dropped out of speech in college because you know why? I took, he had like 2 weeks to get out of class before they start grading you, add drop period. I dropped out of speech class in college because I had nothing to say. I rest my case.
No, things are different.
What's the order?
Take up our tithes and our offerings with joy. Hallelujah. Let's bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. The Bible says our cup is pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Let's bring our gifts to the Lord right now. And if you're at home and you want to participate and you want to give, you can give on our website at www.forzionsake.org. If you need a place, if this is your congregation, maybe you're out in the woods there in West Virginia, and this is your congregation, we encourage you to support us and support what the Lord is doing here, so you can give at home. God bless you as you give. Lord, bless the offering, bless the giver, and bless the gift. Bless them a hundredfold, Lord, as they come in the name of Yeshua. Meet our needs as you, according to your word, Lord. You promise to meet the needs of your people.
Yes.
In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise.
worship you in truth and in the Spirit. We bless Adonai, the Lord of Israel. Let all the nations come into his house and bless him. Let all the peoples rise up and worship before him.
Yeah. bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all his goodness. Bless his holy name, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me.
Bless his holy name, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all his goodness.
Bless his holy name, bless his holy name. His holy name, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all his goodness. Bless his holy name,
bless his holy name.
Bless his holy name,
bless his holy name.
He will answer you when you call on your God. In that day will he answer you. In that day, in that day, in that day when you call on your God.
What it says, amen. Listen to what the Lord says through the shofar.
Hallelujah.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Voice monitor down.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship desire, and I
Spirit, come. Come and fill us now.
Oh, you are
welcome in this place.
Show your mercy and your grace. Come and fill us, Holy Spirit, come.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. On the night Yeshua was betrayed, he took the third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of redemption, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." That same Passover night, Yeshua took the bread, we call it the afikomen, it's the middle layer of three pieces on every Passover table, and he broke the afikomen and gave it to his talmidim, his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And so we break that. We here at Lion of Judah, we break that middle layer every week, and we give it out because he has commanded me to do it. So in the temple they had a sacrifice, and our worship is not by the letter. We don't have a sacrifice, but we remember the sacrifice. That's why we do it. And so we thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice for us. Thank you for your sacrifice for us, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Well, Maria and Deborah, would you like to serve today? Why don't you come on up? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's just bow our heads. If there's anyone here today, and close our eyes. If you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, as your Lord, as your Messiah, and you'd like to receive him today, then just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. If you've never received him as your Messiah, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. And if you're at home and you don't know the Messiah, and you just would like to know him, just lift up your hand high. Rabbi Joe, I need the Messiah today. I need Yeshua. Hallelujah. Would you like to receive the Messiah, sweetheart? Are you embarrassed? Why? Hey? She was fixing her ponytail. Are you fixing your ponytail? It's a very pretty ponytail. God's going to get her one of these weeks, I'm telling you. It's coming. What's that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's prepare ourselves. You don't have to be a believer. You just have to be a believer. You don't have to be a member to come to the Lord's table. So if you're at home and you want to join us, just prepare your hearts to come. I always say keep a small list with God, you know, confess your sins, and come receive His grace and His forgiveness. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Till the end of all time.
L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Children. So I'd like to call the children to come forward and adults to come and gather around the kids as we bless the children today. Let's come and gather around them and lay hands.
May the Lord protect and defend you. May He always shield you from shame.
Bless the children today. We thank you, Lord, that they that you show them the path that you have for them in life, Lord. Show them the direction, their path of service to you, Lord, their path of service to society and what they're going to do when they grow up, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would prepare them. Prepare their future partners in life, Lord, and prepare them as well. We pray, Lord, that you bless them, help them through school, help them through the summer, bless them this summer with joy and fun times. Give them, I pray, times at the beach and at the lake, and times at the ocean, doing fun things, Lord. Open doors for them to do fun things this summer, and teach them how to swim, those that don't know how to swim, and just encourage their hearts, Lord. We thank you that they are arrows in our quiver, that they are the beginning of our strength, that they are our heritage, and we bless them, Lord. Now, as they go to class, just anoint them to hear your word, to receive it, and let their let your word be multiplied in them. Anoint the teachers to bring forth the word in power, and let them speak the words of your mouth, Lord. Let the words of their mouth be be of you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, help them to behave and knit them together in brotherly and sisterly love. In Yeshua's name, amen. Wait for Miss Dawn. Okay, test 1, 2. Got it there. We're getting signal. Test 2, 3. No, that's good. Thank you. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Charlie. Get this mic figured out here. Want to welcome folks on Facebook. Are we on Facebook, Isaac? All right, want to welcome anybody watching us on Facebook today. Hi, Facebook. This is our first time. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. I'm going to preach and preach the Word. Today's message is about walking in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to share. We've been teaching on the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost, for the last several weeks. If you have missed messages, if you haven't been with us, we encourage you. God's given me new revelation this year. If you haven't been here for 2 or 3 weeks, I really encourage you to get the message, because it's you won't be up to speed, really, where we are. So you can also get our messages online. If you're looking for messages to listen to or watch, and you're watching us on live stream, or you're watching us on Facebook, Facebook Live, and you'd like to check out our messages, you can go to www.forzionsake.org, www.forzionsake.org, and you can go to live stream, and you can watch us now, but or you can scroll down and you'll see archived messages. So you can look at the titles of probably, I don't know, 40 messages or so, 50 messages. You can choose from, if you're looking for teaching, messianic teaching, you can go to www.forzionsake.org, and you can go to live stream. Click on live stream, scroll down beyond the live stream, and you'll see archived messages and teachings. So if you're looking, a lot of people are looking for messianic teachings. You can, if you like my teachings, you can go down to, you know, and find them on our website. So God bless you. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for this message that you've given to me today, Lord, in Yeshua's name, and hallelujah. Stand up for a moment. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, today's message is called Walking in the Power of the Holy Spirit, and 1 Corinthians 2:4 says, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. My words, my speech, and my preaching were not with persuasive words." Hallelujah. I'm getting this cord. Hallelujah. I love these microphones. Okay, that's better. Okay, once again, 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Apostle Paul was not a great theologian, he's saying to us, even though he was taught under one of the greatest rabbis. I believe he was taught under Gamaliel, or possibly Hillel, if I recall, but I think it was Gamaliel. One of the greatest rabbis. He was a student of one of the greatest rabbis in Jerusalem in the first century, and in history, in all of Jewish history, one of the greatest rabbis. But that wasn't. It was all, you know, compared to the power of the Spirit and man's wisdom meant nothing. Man's wisdom meant nothing. He says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If God wants us to take the Passover lamb to the lost, okay, and this goes back to what I've been teaching over the last few weeks, okay? Passover now, the lamb is not on an altar. The lamb is no longer on our doorpost. The lamb is no longer in a temple at Jerusalem where we slay it and cut its throat and put its blood and sacrifice it and eat it as a meal, although we still have, you know, we'll talk about that. But it's no longer that the only lamb of God is at Passover. For now, those of us in Messiah, the lamb is in us. The lamb is in us. Everybody, hallelujah. Amen. So wherever we go, we bring the lamb with us. Wherever we go, the lamb goes with us. And now, whenever we go somewhere and we share the Messiah and somebody receives the Messiah, I was in a church in Greenville two or three weeks ago, and two or three people raised their hand for salvation, and they received the Lamb of God. Last week, a little girl came right here. She received the Lamb of God. She came forward. She raised her hand. She said, "I want to receive. I see Yeshua, Rabbi." Is what she was saying. Basically, she didn't say it in those words, but she was basically, you know, by her action, saying, "Yeah, I see Yeshua. I see him, and I want to go to him." She wasn't coming to me. She was going to him. I was just the vessel. I'm a transporter of the Lamb. You all say that. I'm a transporter of the Lamb. Amen? And so, now sometimes we meet people and they don't see the Lamb of God in us. They don't always see the Lamb in us. And they're not always going to see him. When Yeshua went to the woman at the well, and he asked her for water, and she said, "You, being a Jew, would ask water of me, a Samaritan?" And he said, "If you knew who I was, you would have asked me for water, and I would have given you water for which you would never thirst again." You see, she didn't recognize the Messiah. So if people didn't recognize him, how can we expect, you know, they didn't recognize the Lamb of God himself. How can we expect everybody to see him in us all the time? Once in a while, they're going to see him in us. Once in a while, every so often, they're going to see him, and they're going to see him in different ways. They're going to see him through preaching the gospel. They're going to see him through the anointing of the Spirit. They're going to see him through walking in the Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today. Okay? So if God wants us to take the Passover lamb to the lost by sharing the gospel with the lost, doesn't it make sense, people, that he wants us to take the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, signs, wonders, miracles, healings, words of wisdom and knowledge, etc., to the lost and to the new believers? A lot of people in the church say those things are done away with. The gifts are all gone. They teach that the gifts of the Spirit are gone, right? Am I right? Can I get an amen? Okay, but Paul, doesn't it make sense that if he wants us to take the gifts of the Spirit, signs and wonders, miracles, healings, if he wants us to take the Passover lamb to the lost people, doesn't it make sense that he wants us to take the gifts too? I ask you, did miracles play a part in Moses' ministry? Did signs and wonders play a part in Moses' ministry and getting Egyptians and Pharaoh to believe in the God of Israel? Amen? Did word of knowledge, which is, you know, interpreting dreams and visions, and did word of knowledge play a part in Joseph and Daniel's ministry? Hello? And getting the king to believe that the God of Israel was the only God, the living God, the true God? Amen. Amen? Did miracles play a part in the ministry of Elijah and Elisha's ministry? Were the dead raised? Amen. Did the woman of Shunem, she saw this man of God walking through town, and she got to talking to him, and she invited him for supper, and her husband was there, and she invited him over for supper, and she said to her husband, "I perceive," everybody say, I perceive that he is a man of God. She saw the Messiah in him. And so she said, "Let us build an upper room and put a bed and a desk and a chair and a lamp. And so when he comes through town, he can stay in that upper room and he'll come and stay in our home and bless us." She was barren, and he blessed her, and God opened her womb, and she had a son. And then her son died, and he raised her son from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, God uses signs and wonders. I tell you another miracle. There was a woman in Tyre, or up in Lebanon, and the widow of Sidon, I think it was, up there in Lebanon, and she was she was down to her last little bit of flour and her last little bit of oil, and the prophet Elijah was sent to her. God said, "Go to this woman up there in Sidon," and Elijah knocked on her door, and she says, "You know, what do you want?" And he says, "Bake me some cake, bake me a little of bread, and bake me and give me a little something to drink, okay?" And she says, "I only have enough for me and my son to have our last meal, and then we're going to die because there's no more food, there's no more money, I have nothing left. This is my last meal." And he said, "Just do as I say." So she did it. And she kept saying, if you read the chapter where Elijah went to the widow of Sidon, you read the chapter, she kept saying, "Your God, your God, your God." And then he multiplied. When she made him the cake and gave him something to drink, he multiplied the flour and the oil. Everybody say, he multiplied it. He multiplied it so much that she didn't run out till the famine was over. Amen? Amen. She never went hungry. Everybody say, she never went hungry. She didn't die. She did not die. Amen? And by that time, she was not saying, "Your God." She was saying, "My God. My God." You see, God used that miracle, that gift from the gift of the prophet. The prophet used his gift of miracles and signs and wonders to convince her that his God was the true God and the only God, the God of Israel. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Give him glory. How about the new covenant? 1 Corinthians 12:7. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 12:7. People say that the gifts aren't for today. Let's read what the word says. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, "But to each person," let's all say that, "but to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach," which means Holy Spirit, "for the benefit of all." Okay, let's say it again. "But to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach for the benefit of all." It doesn't say, "but to the apostles." It doesn't say, "but just to the original 12. It says, "but to each person is given the Spirit the a manifestation of the Spirit of the Ruach for the benefit of everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul doesn't say it's done away with. Paul doesn't say it's just for apostles or it's just for the original 12 or however many there were in the beginning. Does he? No. If you've been taught that, you've been lied to. You know what? You've been sold a bill of goods by people who don't want to walk in the gifts, who don't want to use power, who don't want to see signs and wonders, and they don't want they possess a form of religion but deny the power thereof. They possess a form of religion, as the Bible says, but they deny the power thereof. And God is not pleased with people like that. And you know what? That's why we don't have the fancy folks here. The fancy folks don't come because, you know what? They don't want to walk in that. Because to walk in that means you have to be a little bit devoted to God. You have to commit your life. You have to take a little bit less time at the country club. You have to eat a little less steak and lobster. And you got to spend a little more time in the Word of God. You gotta spend a little less time at the golf course or on the lake, or a little less time flying around in your private jet. And they don't want to give it up. You can't have one leg in the world. You can't have one foot in mammon and one foot in the kingdom. Amen? That's what God says. You've got to be totally sold out for the Lord. If you're going to be sold out for the Lord, the country club life isn't going to be for you. All right? Oh, God, that's good preaching, man. Rabbi, praise the Lord. I pat myself on the back for that one. All right. How about the new covenant, 1 Corinthians 12? But to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach for the benefit of all. The gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit, Ruach, activates all these things, distributing to each person individually as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Distributing to each person as he wills. That means every one of you is given a measure of the Spirit and a gift of the Spirit as God wills. He gives you what he sees fit. Amen? Somebody get excited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen miracles. I have seen God do miracles. Through these hands, I have seen blind eyes see. I have seen deaf ears hear. I have seen lame people walk. I've seen cancer healed. Through these hands, I've seen two or three people get out of wheelchairs and walk. Two of them have been in them for 20 years. Through these hands, I've seen mute tongues too speak. People lying in bed, bedridden on their deathbed, who couldn't speak, and I took them by the mouth and I said, "In the name of Yeshua, you dumb mute spirit, come out!" Whoa. And they spoke. I've seen the lost saved through these words, through preaching the gospel, through the demonstration of power. Amen. Hallelujah. Through word of knowledge, I've interpreted. I've given people words of knowledge and words of prophecy. Amen. I don't know if there's anybody here who's received one. Has anybody here received a word of knowledge or prophecy through these lips from God? Maybe not. Hallelujah. But I have done it. I have done it. Verse 27. Some are apostles, then prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, leadership. What are the gifts? It says some are apostles, then prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, leadership, various kinds of tongues. So some people are able to have the gift of healing. Some people can perform miracles. Some people have the gift of helps. Their gift is to be served down in the kitchen I remember the first time I walked into a Messianic synagogue and I walked in the door and somebody ran up to greet me and hugged me. Man, this lovely lady, big woman, she came running up. I thought she was going to tackle me. And she came running up and threw her arms around me. I was the first time walking through the door and she hugged me and welcomed me. And I was like, whoa, you know, I was blown away. I was so welcomed. I was felt so loved. And then I sat down next to a lovely spirit-filled young lady who loved God, Deborah Frankel. I think she may be in Israel now. She was my first person I actually met in a Messianic synagogue. She's married and she lives in Pennsylvania. And she's a lawyer and does very well. She's married to a terrific guy. I can't think of his last name right now. But anyway, I was so welcomed when I walked into the Messianic synagogue because by people who had the gift of helps. People with the gift of helps, they're the people, they're the encouragers. They're the people who do the work behind the scenes, the cooking. They're the people who do the work at the working at the video and the sound and the audio. That's the gift of helps. Amen. You know, people who fix the building and who clean the building, who repair things, they have the gift of helps. Glory to God. That's a very important gift. Some people have the gift of leadership. And that's a gift. The gift of leadership is something where people are drawn to you because you have the gift of leadership. And so people are drawn to you for answers. They're drawn to you if you have the gift of leadership because they see you. They perceive. Everybody say they perceive. That you are a leader. Now you may not be appointed a leader. Nobody may have made you a leader, but the Bible says the gift of God will rise up in you and will bring you before great men. The gift of God rises up. It's like baking fresh bread. When you start to bake fresh bread, as you bake it, the smell starts to rise up and come out of the oven, and it fills the room. And as you walk and you serve God, your gifts are going to rise up, and the preacher's going to smell the gift, and the people are going to smell it too, and they're going to see. You know, I knew a lady in a Messianic synagogue years ago. She was a prophetess. She prophesied that I was going to be a rabbi in 1996. She told me, "You're going to be a rabbi." I said, "I don't think so," and she said, "No, you are. You're going to be a rabbi." And By 2000, I was a rabbi. By 2003, I was ordained a rabbi. And by 2007, I was ordained a full rabbi. She was right. 11 years later, I was a rabbi. I never planned on being a rabbi. Okay? She said I was going to be a rabbi. She was a prophetess. She was in the congregation. And she came to me. And we knew. Everybody knew her. People who accepted her as a prophetess came to her to receive prophetic words and to ask her to pray. Amen? Let me tell you, you know, when you spend enough time around people, you're going to get to know the ones who pray. And you're going to get to know the ones, I'm going to go to this person and ask them for prayer. I'm going to go to this person and ask them, I've got this situation going on in my life. I'm going to go to this person, talk to them about it. You know, you're going to seek them out because you spend enough time with people in your congregation or in work, wherever you are, in your family, godly people. You're gonna see their gifts, and whether they be officially leaders, for example, I'm talking using leadership. They don't have to be official, you know, assistant rabbi. Executive rabbi, executive assistant rabbi, assistant to the senior rabbi. They don't have to have a title
to be perceived as a leader. And you know what? You're going to walk in your gifts before people are going to acknowledge them. You've got to start walking. Everybody's got to take baby steps. Everybody who has a gift has to take baby steps. Okay? You've got to start walking in it in little baby steps before it becomes the full-blown gift. Amen? Now, I've had people who are worshipers in here before, not today necessarily. I've had people that played the piano and they had the gift. They didn't use it. They didn't come forth and say, Rabbi, I can play. I want to be on the praise team. I want to walk in my gift. That's a great, what an honor to be a worshiper, to lead God's people into the Spirit, into the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. What a gift that is. What an honor it is to lead God's people into His presence. Man, if you have that gift and you're hiding it, ooh, I wouldn't want to be you on the day you have to stand before God and tell Him why you didn't do it. All right, let's move on. Okay, verse 22. Some are apostles and prophets. Okay, let's read verse 29 through 30 of chapter 12. Okay, all are not emissaries, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All do not work miracles, do they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire, say that with me, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and still I show you a more excellent way. And still I show you a more excellent way. Paul says, desire the greater gifts. Desire to walk in word of knowledge. Desire to walk in prophecy. Desire to walk in healing. Desire to walk in faith. Desire to walk in discernment of spirits. Desire to speak tongues. Desire to interpret tongues. Desire to be a leader, desire to be an apostle, an emissary, desire all these things. Amen? He tells us to in verse 29. He says, desire the greater gifts. But then he says, I show you a more excellent way. Earnestly desire the greater gifts, he says, and still I show you a more excellent way. What is that excellent way? And that excellent way is this. And go to chapter 13. He says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. I am nothing. If I give away all that I own, and if I hand over my body so I might boast, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not brag. It is not puffed up. It does not behave inappropriately. It does not seek its own way. It is not provoked. It keeps no account of wrong. It does not rejoice over injustice, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Without love, doesn't matter what gift you have, it's all just clanging cymbals. It's all meaningless if you have not love. Amen? Amen. 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 Lord, forgive me if I be not patient, kind, if I have envy, if I brag, if I be puffed up or behave inappropriately. Forgive me, God, if I seek my own way and selfish, if I'm provoked, if I keep an account of wrong of others, forgive me. God, forgive me if I rejoice over injustices when I should rejoice in the truth. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to believe all things, bear all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 14. Why have the gifts? Why have the gifts? Let's look at chapter 14. Pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So pursue love first, but eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands, but in the Spirit, in the Ruach, he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to people for the building up, urging on, and uplifting one who speaks in a tongue. So, in other words, if you prophesy, it's for the building up of the body. You prophesy for the building up of the body. When I shared with you the last president of the United States, part two, that was for the building up of the body. That was to make you prepared and equipped and ready and to make the world. And if you've never heard the message and you're watching on TV, go to our website and look up the message, the last president of the United States, part one and part two, and you'll get a revelation of the next 8 years. I believe that you'll understand what's happening in the world today. As prophecy, and it's for the edification of the body. Amen? Amen. But one who speaks in tongues builds up himself. One who prophesies builds up the community. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more than that, that you would prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the community may be built up. But now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you by the way of revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? It is the same for lifeless things that make a sound, like a flute or a harp. If they make no distinction of the tones, how will what is played be recognized? For if the trumpet makes an unclear sound, who will prepare himself for battle? That's like me blowing the shofar. Who will prepare himself for battle if they heard me blow the shofar? Not Wendell. Hallelujah. Sometimes I can blow it. So also with your tongue, unless you utter speech that is intelligible, how will what is spoken be understood? For you will be talking to the wind. It may be that there are many languages in the world, none without meaning. If then I do not understand the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker will be a foreigner to me. Likewise with you. That's why there must be interpretation of tongues. When somebody gets up, and I've had this happen in congregation, where someone will come in, whether I know them or not, and they'll start prophesying in tongues. And if it's right and it's true, there'll be immediately an interpretation of the message in tongues. If it's of God, there'll be an interpretation. And if it's not of God, there'll be no interpretation. Everybody will be standing there going, duh, you know, and then the person will be escorted out. Seriously, because they distracted the service. They're not, or they're prophesying falsely, and they're just disturbing everybody. They're causing trouble. Amen? Amen. Okay. Brothers and sisters, verse 20. Stop being children in your thinking, rather be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the prophets it is written, by those with strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to this people, and not even then will they listen to me, says Adonai. Therefore, tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. God gave tongues to believers to speak in tongues, not for believers, but for unbelievers. God gave tongues to people, you, to speak, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Why? So they'll get saved. If you start speaking in a tongue to an unbeliever, and you start speaking in tongues, And all of a sudden, they're hearing you speak in a tongue. Maybe they understand it. It's like me going to Italy and speaking Italian, which I don't speak. And I all of a sudden, I'm talking to someone I don't know. And then they know I don't speak, you know, I just met them, and they know I don't speak Italian. And all of a sudden, Italian starts coming out of me. And they're going to believe in my God. That's what he's saying. Amen? All right. But prophecy is a sign, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So verse 23, so if Messiah's whole community comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and is uninstructed or believing people come, and uninstructed or unbelieving people come, they won't they say you're crazy? Yeah, they will. But if we're prophesying and some unbelieving or ungifted person comes in, he's convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart become known, and so he will fall down on his face and worship God, declaring God is really among you. What is it then, brothers and sisters, whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification. If someone speaks in a tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the community, but speak to himself and to God. In other words, be orderly. We got to be orderly. Amen? I've been in some nut houses where people were running around like Indians and just crazy stuff going on, people barking like dogs. And I've seen people barking like dogs in churches. That's weird, man. When people start going, ooh, you know, that's some funky stuff. And God told me to do that, they say. Yeah, God, yeah, oh yeah, okay. Now, is God telling you to be a poodle, a beagle, or a basset hound, or a Rottweiler? The Spirit, verse 32, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but shalom. As in all the communities of the Kedushim of the Holy Ones, let women keep silent in the communities. All right, I'm not going to go there about the women today. Hallelujah. But basically, God has given us the gifts for two purposes. God has given us the gifts for the purpose of edification of the body, edification of the congregation, and he's given us the gifts for to bring the lost into the kingdom. Amen. If you go out, you know, and perform a miracle or a sign or wonder, whatever, you know, and somebody who's an unbeliever sees you do it and they say, how'd you do that? And you say, my Lord Yeshua helped me to do it, then they're going to be, you know, more likely to accept your God, right? Isn't that why Moses performed miracles? Elijah, Elisha, amen? Isn't that why Paul? Oh God, this gets good. This is about to get better. Yeshua, he walked in the gifts. In John 2:1-11, he changed water to wine. In John 4:46, he healed the royal official's son. In Mark 1:21-28, he healed a demon-possessed man. He healed Peter's mother-in-law in Matthew 8:14-15. Yeshua healed Peter's mother-in-law also in Mark 1:29-31. Yeshua, after hearing Peter's mother-in-law, he healed many people. After healing Peter's mother-in-law, people found out about it, so they all came to him, and he healed the whole town. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. She had a fever. There was a little girl that had a fever. It was Brooke, I think. And we prayed one night or one day and that she would be healed, and she was skipping and playing with the kids, and her fever was gone before the end of that service. That was during a service here, wasn't it? Amen? Yeshua, what? It was prayer? Oh, that was prayer night. That was the night you came to prayer. Brooke got healed of a fever, and she was out playing with the kids. Did the fever ever come back? All right, I rest my case. Yeshua healed Peter's mother-in-law, took the fever away from her, and she went and cooked for them and served them. But not only that, the whole town found out about the miracle, and the whole town who had sick, everyone who was sick, came to Jesus and said, "Heal me." And so after he healed Peter's mother in Matthew 8:16, many people came and he healed them in Mark 1:32, the same thing. He just took one woman's fever, and that's all it took to bring the whole town. Glory to God. We've seen fever healed right here in River City. It wasn't me, it was God. I don't do the healing, God does. I just make myself available. And that's all you need to do. Amen? Okay, the miracle of catching many fish. I would love to have that one. I would love to have that. Now, I have the gift of parking spaces. God has given me the gift of wherever I ask him for a parking space, he gives me a parking space. You ask Dawn that one. Now, she's not in the room. Ask Dawn if God gives me parking spaces. Isaac, is that true?
Yeah, but you also...
Shh. Stop with the... Okay. All right. Let's go on here. And catching many fish. God has also... He's given me the gift of many of parking spaces. What other gift has he given me? Okay. It'll come to me. Catching fish. We'll move on. Healing a leper. Matthew 8:14, Mark 1:40 through 45. Matthew 8:1 through 4, not 14. He healed a leper. Yeshua healed the centurion's servant. Matthew 8:5 through 13. Luke 7:1 through 10. He healed the paralyzed man. Matthew 9:1 through 8. He raised the widow's son, Luke 7:11 through 17. He calmed the storm, Matthew 8:23 through 27. He healed the woman with the issue of blood, Matthew 9:20 through 22. Why did Yeshua walk in the gifts? So that the world might believe that he is the Messiah and the Son of God. Amen? That he is the King, and he healed somebody on the Sabbath, and he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees said to him, "Who? You're a blasphemer. You can't forgive sins." He says, "What's harder to do? Forgive sins or heal a lame man and tell him to get up off his mat and walk? Or open his blind eyes? Which one's harder to do?" And they shut up. Amen? Because obviously, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven than to say to a man who's been 38 years on a mat, or a blind person who hasn't seen in 20 years, and receive your sight. Amen? Praise God. All right. The Apostle Paul, miracles. Acts 14:10, he healed a lame man. Acts 16:18, he cast out an evil spirit of a young woman who was following behind him. Acts 19:11, let's read that. Acts 19. I'm almost done. You need to walk in the gifts, people. You need to walk in the gifts. And the gifts aren't just for the day of Pentecost. We're not just counting the Omer. Oh, you're going to love this one. You're not just counting the Omer for the day of Pentecost because you're going to see an outpouring on the day of Pentecost, and you're going to walk in the gifts and see miracles, signs, and wonders on the day of Pentecost. No, folks, now you've got the Spirit in you. You've already received the Holy Ghost, and now God wants you to go out every day. And you can take Pentecost with you, Shavuot, take it out with you into the world, into your workplace, into your families, into the hospitals, into the soup kitchen, wherever you go, into the shopping mall, into your Mahjong game, wherever you go, you can bring the Holy Spirit, and you can heal the sick, and you can pray. And you can prophesy, and you can share a word of knowledge, and you can share a prophetic word, and you can. And if it's not your prophetic word, you can share a word that God gave me. You can be a messenger. Hallelujah. Faith is a gift. I forgot to mention that. The gift of faith. Having faith is a gift. And God, we need faith. You see, the whole point of this message is it's not just for Pentecost. It's not just for Shavuot. The gifts of the Spirit are for every day. Now that the Spirit's been poured out, and some of you need more of it, some of you need a double portion, some of you don't have only, you just got saved, but you never got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You never got a double portion. The disciples did. You don't believe me? Look in John chapter 20, I believe it is. Yeshua appeared to the disciples, and they were in a room, and it says he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. Somebody find me that verse. It was John 20, I think it is. Or it says, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And then a few days later, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came, was poured out on the disciples, and they received the Holy Spirit a second time. They got a double portion. Amen? Did they get a double portion? God, you guys are asleep. Somebody. John 20. Anybody? What verse? People are afraid of the gifts. They're afraid because they think they have to be holy. They think they have to walk on water. Or walk in fire. Yeshua walked on water and fire. You know, he walked in the fiery furnace. He walked in the burning bush. And he also walked on water. And you know what? You don't have to walk on water. What is it? John 20. Okay. It said this. Okay. It was evening, verse 19 of chapter 20. On that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Judean leaders, Yeshua came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, Shalom Aleichem. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Yeshua said to them again, Shalom Aleichem. As the Father has sent me, in other words, for those non-Jews out there, peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. That means peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And after he said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Ruach HaKodesh. That means the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you hold back, they are held back. Praise God. And then again in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit was poured out, and they received it a second time. I'll give you another example. Elijah the prophet, he said, as he was about to die, he said to his disciple Elisha, ask of me what I shall do for you. Amen? He said, ask of me what I shall do for you. And Elisha said, give me a double portion of your spirit. 2 Kings chapter 2. Give me a double portion of your spirit. Elijah said, that's a difficult thing you ask of me. But if it happens, if you see me when I'm taken from you, then it shall be as you ask. And he saw, he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horses. And then the chariots came down and took Elijah and took him up to heaven. And Elijah's mantle came down. And Elisha picked up the mantle and he smote the Jordan River, and the Jordan parted ways. And Elisha went on to perform double. He asked for a double portion. He performed exactly double the miracles of Elijah. You can count them. You can read the miracles. You can count the miracles that Elisha did. Study the Bible. And you'll see that he performed exactly double, including that when his bones were in the grave, they threw a dead man into his tomb where he was buried, and the dead man hit the bones of Elisha, and he came back to life. And that was the last miracle he performed. Praise God. God wants you. Okay, God wants you. Acts 19, verse 11 and 12. God was doing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. God was doing extraordinary miracles. Everybody, listen to that. Just listen. God was doing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Wow. Paul raised a boy from the dead who fell from a third floor window. He was teaching all night. Charlie says, I preached too long. Paul was preaching all night long. And this young kid fell asleep in the window, fell down two or three stories, and died. Paul went down, laid on the boy, and breathed life back into him, and went back to teaching. That was in Acts 20, verse 10. Acts 28:5, Paul was bit by a poisonous snake. He should have died. The people on the island of Malta were amazed and wanted to worship Paul as a god. Paul said, I'm not a god, but I'll tell you who is. And they believed in his god on Malta because he was bit by a snake and he didn't die. Acts 28, Paul healed a man with a fever and dysentery. Paul performed many, many miracles, and so did Peter. And you know what? God wants you to do the same. God wants you to walk in the gifts. And the gifts, again, and I'll read them to you. Gifts of faith, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues. You know, one time, delivering demons is healing, is under the classification of healing. Deliverance from demons is under the classification of healing. And one time I was in Haifa in Israel, and I was preaching in an Ethiopian Messianic synagogue in Haifa. And a woman came up to me in a prayer line and started shrieking and shaking violently and convulsing. And she was manifesting demons. So I began, and she didn't speak English, and I didn't speak Amharic, Ethiopian. I didn't speak her language, and she didn't speak mine. But I started casting demons out in Yeshua's name right there on Mount Carmel, where Elijah was, in Haifa. Right on Mount Carmel, there's Rabbi Joe in Israel casting out demons. And my Presbyterian mother-in-law was watching. She was sitting there in the audience, totally shocked that her son-in-law is casting out demons there in this Ethiopian congregation in Haifa. But, you know, I've had to do it. And I've done it maybe a half a dozen times. I can discern a spirit if it manifests to me. And then I can, you know, if it manifests and it's the right opportunity and the right time, and then I'll cast it out. But I don't go looking for it. You understand? I don't go looking for demons. God appointed time, just like the healing of the little girl who got healed of the fever, or the little girl who got saved last week, or many of the children here who've gotten saved through the preaching here. People who've gotten healed. Wendell's gotten healed of his back, was healed one Shabbat. That was God's appointed time. Amen. That was God's appointed time. All right, so this is my conclusion. Walk in the gifts. You don't need to wait for the count. You don't need to get. Let me tell you one last little story. I've baptized more people in the Jordan River than I've baptized in the United States. Okay, I've baptized more people in the Jordan River than I have in the United States of America. And I used to get really anxious about baptizing in the Jordan River. I used to get really anxious because, man, I thought, man, I'm baptizing where John the Baptist did. I'm baptizing where Jesus baptized. I'm like, I'm not holy enough. I got to fast. I got to pray. And I used to get all nerved up and anxious and uptight. And I got to confess my sins. I'm going to baptize tomorrow in the Jordan River. I get all anxious, and I'd go mess up people's baptisms because I was so worried about it. Then God said to me, Joe, chill out. Did I tell you to pray and fast, or did I just tell you to baptize? What was the commandment? Go and be baptized. Isn't that what he said? go and be baptized. He didn't say, go and pray and fast and baptize and get real holy. Because it isn't me. Everybody say, it isn't me. It ain't you. And it's not me. And when it took that pressure off me, I started baptizing in the Jordan River and having a great time doing it. And ever since then, 7 or 8 years ago, I've had fun baptizing people in the Jordan River, except I did Isaac in January, and water was 30 degrees, and we both got sick. I remember I got bronchitis, and that wasn't too much fun, but he was baptized in the Jordan River. Praise the Lord. Miss Aja was baptized in the Jordan River. But my point is this. When it comes to walking in the gifts, don't get stressed out about it. Don't get worked up about it. If you pray about it, Paul says, desire the greater gifts. Everybody say, desire the greater gifts. If you don't have them, ask for them. These days before Pentecost, you can be asking God, give me this gift. Give me that gift. Give me word of knowledge. Give me prophecy, word interpretation of prophecy. Give me the gift of tongues. Whatever it is that you desire, ask him, and he will not deny his children. Amen? Only ask with a pure heart. Ask sincerely, and ask repeatedly. Don't stop asking until you get what you want. And walk in the gifts. Walk in the gifts. And you know what? The best thing to do is pray, Lord, bring someone to cross my path today that I can walk in the gifts and show them how wonderful you are. I can walk in signs, wonders, miracles, healings, and faith and preach the gospel today. Lord, do that. Use me today. Amen. In Yeshua's name. And he will use you. He will use you because it is so critical, people, that you bear fruit. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, Proverbs 11. And he who wins souls is wise. If you've never won souls, then you have to question whether you have fruit on your tree. And if you don't have fruit, you need to get some fruit, because any branch that does not have fruit is thrown into the fire. You need to win souls. Don't just leave it to the preacher. Don't just leave it to the evangelist. Go out there and preach the gospel. Win souls. You can do it. It's not that hard. If you don't know how, I'll teach you how. I'll teach you in 10 minutes. Amen? All right, let's all stand up. I want to bless you. Now, somebody bring a microphone to Miss Aja. She has a praise report, and I promised her I'd let her give that praise report. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening, folks. And welcome, folks who've been watching on Facebook. We're glad you're with us, and we love you. It's our first time doing this, so bear with us. We're going to try this weekly and see how it goes. And give us some feedback. Let us know how we could do it better. Maybe the angle. We could find a better angle or something. Let us know what we could do. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've been coming to prayer, and the reason why I wasn't here Wednesday night was because...
In the microphone, honey. Speak in the mic.
The reason why I wasn't here Wednesday night was because I was late getting home from a doctor's appointment, and from all the falls that I've had, I have a compression fracture, but that's that. But anyway, we've been praying for Carrie, Pastor Pete's Anderson's daughter, who is in mission work, and they moved to Uganda to do full-time mission work. She was in her mid-30s, and Rabbi Joe offered up a special prayer for her. And Mary, one of their friends, called me this morning, and she's been in Atlanta Hospital. She's in her mid-30s, and she had a massive stroke. So, anyways, we've been praying every day for her, and the thing is she almost died like about 2-3 weeks ago, but the Lord answered prayer. She is in a rehab center in Atlanta, Georgia, but she has to relearn how to walk and talk all over again, and she has 2 small children. So the Lord answered prayers, and he did not take her. So give the Lord a hand.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Aja. And we should pray for her. Why don't some people, why don't you gather around Miss Aja, some of the ladies, why don't you gather around Aja and pray, put your hands on her, some of the ladies, and we'll pray for her back. She has a compression fracture in her spine. Okay? Those of you who know her, just gather around and just let's pray for Miss Aja. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Miss Aja, that you touch her spine and that you heal her, Lord, and repair the compression fracture, Lord. Just restore the space between her discs, between her vertebrae, Lord. Restore the space and bring healing, Lord. Bring healing. Heal the bones. Take away the fracture. And you all can pray, ladies. Don't listen to me. You just pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray. Thank you, Lord. Touch her right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heal her now, Lord. Heal her from her head to her toes, Lord. Heal her. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Greet one another and walk in the power of the Spirit. Walk in the gifts and ask the Lord for power.